So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna was pleased to place His lotus feet on the lap of Vidura because Vidura was very meek and gentle. The sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words, and being influenced by his spirit, he attempted to speak. Shall we repeat it together? Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna was pleased to place his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura, because Vidura was very meek and gentle. The sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words, and being influenced by his spirit, he attempted to speak. Purport. The word Sahasra Shirshnaha is very significant. One who has diverse energies and activities and a wonderful brain is known as Sahasra Shirshnaha. This qualification is applicable only to the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna and no one else. The personality of Godhead was pleased to dine sometimes with Vidura at his home, and while resting, he placed his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura. Maitreya was inspired by the thought of Vidura's wonderful fortune. The hairs of his body stood on end, and he was pleased to narrate the topics of the personality of Godhead with great delight. Wonderful verse. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Then, okay. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sah Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Bishakan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patita Anam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dina Tarinam. I'm a fool number one. I want to say this in public. But by the grace of my spiritual master, even the fool can speak eloquent words, and a lame person can cross over mountains. So maybe I will be able to say something meaningful. Please give me your blessings and good wishes. Sorry, my voice is not very loud. much kapha in my body. Okay, so we continue with this wonderful description of the conversation of Maitreya Muni and Vidura. So in this verse, Shukadev Goswami is discussing the qualities of Vidura and the wonderful interaction between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. So Vidura is a very special person. In the Bhagavatam, there's 12 chapters dedicated to Vidura's description of Vidura's story and Vidura's character. Actually, I checked, it's the most chapters are dedicated to describing Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, about 120 chapters. And then from the devotees, about 40-50 chapters, 15 to 20 chapters are dedicated to the Pandavas, and 15 chapters to Prahlad Maharaj, 12 chapters to Vidura. So Vidura is certainly one of the most glorified devotee, and speaking about him, it takes 12 chapters, which is significant. Means that it's a very important personality. So Prabhupada starts his purport by saying that the word Sahasra Shirshnaha is very significant. And then he describes that this word can only, it's a name of Krishna actually, and it can only refer to Krishna. So Sahasra means thousands, or countless can also mean countless in poetic form. And so Krishna has countless Shirshna. Shirshna means heads. So Krishna manifests this wonderful form of universal form, which also has thousand heads, countless manifestation of his form. So Prabhupada says that this means that Krishna has diverse energies and activities and a wonderful brain. It's interesting he mentions that wonderful brain. We normally hear wonderful mind, but in this case, wonderful brain. So one aspect of Krishna's diverse energies and wonderful brain is that he arranges so many different pastimes in such an intricate way. So, for example, Vidura, he is actually Yamaraj. He's a very powerful person. He's one of the Mahajans mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's 12 personalities who are authorities on the Srimad Bhagavatam. They can teach Bhagavatam. They understand the Bhagavatam. So Vidura was Yamaraj. And how did Yamaraj happen to become Vidura? There's a story how one great rishi, Mandavya Muni, he had to go to the court of Yamaraj. And then it's described how he, in his childhood, he was piercing ants with a with a straw stick. So for that mistake, he had to appear in the court of Yama. So when he appeared in the court of Yama, he was very, very unsatisfied, because according to the scriptures, a child is not responsible for its mistakes, because the children are ignorant. They don't have proper understanding of what is right and what is wrong. So he was not pleased. And he asked Yamaraj, why did I have to come to the hellish planets to be judged? And then Yamaraj said, because you did this and that thing with the ants. And then Mandavya said, actually, it's your mistake, because one is not responsible until he becomes elder. Sometimes in Shastra it's given different ages when one becomes responsible for his activities. What have you heard? Anyone that you heard from what age one is responsible for his own activities? 20? 12? Yeah. From the age of 5? Yeah, can you say where it's the reference? I heard 12 or 13 years, one becomes fully responsible for his decisions. Because when we are small, first of all, we don't know what is right and what is wrong. And secondly, our intelligence is not very strong to take the right decision. Anyhow, so it was a mistake on the part of Yamaraj. And it was an apparent mistake, because actually this was a special arrangement by Sahasra Shirshna. Krishna has such a brain. He planned so well his appearance in Vapara Yuga that he wanted to assemble certain personalities. So he certainly wanted to have Yamaraj take part in his pastimes and arrange that Yamaraj be cursed. So Mandavya Muni cursed Yamaraj, said, you will be born as a Shudra. So he had to take birth as a Shudra. However, Yamaraj took birth as a Shudra in a great family, the Kaurava family. It's a great dynasty. So from very young age, he was properly trained, and he received the same knowledge, the same training as all the other princes. However, he could not act as a Kshatriya, because he was born of a Shudra mother. But he was very, very learned and possessed many wonderful qualities. So Shukadev Goswami here focuses on two qualities of Vidura. So he says that he's meek and humble. There's one word, actually, and Prabhupada this translated as meek and humble, that and gentle. That's the word vinitam. So to be meek and humble, meek and gentle, I looked the definition of meek. I'll read it for you. Meek. It describes someone who is quiet, gentle, and submissive, often avoiding aggression and asserting dominance. So someone who is meek and humble meek and gentle. He doesn't want to dominate over others, and he's not aggressive. He's very peaceful person like that. But that doesn't mean that he's a fool. Actually, when we speak of humility, sometimes we, or certain people, they imagine that being humble means that you're like, you have no value. Anyone can do anything with you. You listen to everyone, do whatever everyone tells you, which is not exactly the meaning of humility. Actually, one person who is humble, he accepts his position, and he's not proud, but he has dignity. So a humble person doesn't allow people to fool him around and treat him as garbage, you know. He has dignity. That's very important. So Vidura was, although he was very meek and humble, he was very, very strong in the sense that he would always speak the truth. And he became the advisor of so many great personalities. He was a minister. He was advising the emperor and all the other personalities. So it's a very great, very great personality like that. And he was very meek and humble because he accepted his position as a lower person in terms of his varna, ashrama, you know, position, according to varna ashrama. But he was amazing, and he showered a lot of love for the all the members of the Kuru dynasty, especially the Pandavas. So, you know, he was so intelligent that he would speak to the Pandavas in such a way that no one could understand. Like, I forgot what's that word, but like, for example, this pastime with the burning of the palace that the Pandavas built in Indraprastha, Indraprastha, this palace? Yeah, I think so. That's right. It was the House of Luck. The Pandavas were given a House of Luck in the forest, and there was a plot to burn them. So Vidura learned about this, and he warned the Pandavas in a very secretive way. He told them that this is going to happen. So he was a very intelligent person. He knew all the Shastras. And there's no doubt about it, because he's a Mahajan in his original form. So, meek and humble. This is a very... to be meek and gentle is a very... symptomatic of a spiritually advanced person. Even in the Bible, there's reference to that term. It's a virtue which is very much appreciated. For example, in the Beatitudes by Matthew, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And also Moses in the Bible is also described as very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. So this is a quality that in other religion is considered very very special. And those who are meek and humble, they are worthy of receiving the Lord's mercy. So in this verse, Jashishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shishri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishri Gornitai Ki Jai. In this verse, we hear that Vidura was actually very, very fortunate. What was his fortune? He received special mercy by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's described that the lotus, Krishna placed his lotus feet on the lap of Vidura. So when Krishna was dining sometimes in Vidura's house, after dining, he would relax a little bit, and Vidura, and he would put his lotus feet on Vidura. That means that Vidura has the position of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it means that he takes shelter. He's sheltered by the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's constantly meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. So Vidura sometimes you can ask different devotees, can I touch your feet? And they're shy, they don't want to do it, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead liked so much Vidura, he would put his feet on his lap. So think about it. He's very, very... And why did he do that? Because the Supreme Lord was very pleased with him. When Krishna came to Hastinapur to negotiate for peace... He came as a messenger, and he was received in a very wonderful, very opulent way by the Kauravas, Duryodhana, especially Duryodhana, because Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, they were planning to enlist Krishna on their side. They wanted Krishna to fight on their side and leave the side of the Pandavas. So they had this cunning plan. But Krishna, yesterday I read this story. It's an amazing story. Krishna was very... Krishna knew their hidden motives, and he rejected their hospitality totally. Said, I'm not going to go to the palace which you had arranged for Krishna, to go in the palace of Dushasana, because Dushasana had the most opulent palace. So Krishna rejected that, and he also refused to take the food prepared by Duryodhana. And this is a very good point, because sometimes we hear this instruction that devotees should only eat prasadam, and they should not eat in the house of materialists, because, you know, that food is tainted by their qualities, that the qualities of the person who cooks the food. So we should be very careful also. And I remember when I joined devotees in Bulgaria, where I joined, were very serious about not eating anything, especially grains prepared by karmis. Nowadays we are very, very loose, very lax with this. We eat karmi bread, we eat so many things that are, sometimes we even go to karmi restaurants, even though they are vegetarian, but you know, this food is prepared by non-devotees and it's tinged with their consciousness, it's contaminated. So Krishna didn't want to get that food. He said he was invited by many people. He was invited by all the elders like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, like that. And he said, I'm not going to go to any of these places. I'll go to the house of Vidura. He went to Vidura's house. He stayed in his house, which means that he was very, very pleased with Vidura and wanted to show that affection to Vidura by accepting his hospitality. And even though Vidura was, of course, very happy, and there's this famous story when Vidurani, she offered banana. She wanted to offer banana to Krishna, but instead she offered the peels of the bananas. You know, because Vidura and his wife, they were so affectionate and deeply loved Krishna, that when Krishna came to their house, they get bewildered like that. In front of my spiritual master, I always act as a fool. I feel like I'm actually a fool, I know, but especially in his presence, I freeze. I don't know what to say. I behave like a small child and like that. I guess something similar has happened. So Krishna really likes Vidura, and thinking about the position of Vidura and how Krishna accepted him, Maitreya Muni, he became ecstatic. The hairs were standing on end on his body. He really was meditating on this example of Vidura, and although he was externally, he was the guru, he was instructing him, but he knew that Vidura was actually very advanced person, and externally he was the one who was instructing him. And Vidura was asking simple questions. It's not that Vidura didn't know these things. I read one article about Vidura. He was asking these questions for the benefit of everyone else. And there was three reasons given. One was he was asking this for the benefit of everyone else. He wanted people to understand these important points. And he wanted to hear, because he enjoyed hearing these topics. So like that, he asked so many questions of Maitreya. So Maitreya was very inspired by this wonderful fortune of Vidura, that he received that mercy from Krishna. And like that, this is also another point, that when we have a Krishna Katha, there's at least two people. One is speaking and the other is hearing. Ideally, Krishna Katha is spoken by one person, and the other person also hears, but both persons actually speak and hear from each other. That's discussion, right? So discussions or talks of devotees about Krishna and Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, are very pleasing to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, in the Chatur Shloki of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Madjita madgrata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is exactly what's happening here. Maitreya and Vidura are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Prabhupada finishes the purport. The hairs in his body, means Maitreya's body, stood on end, and he was pleased to narrate the topics of the personality of Godhead with great delight. So he was really, really inspired. So when the speaker sees that the audience is attentive and is qualified, it hears attentively with eagerness, then the speaker becomes inspired. So this is exactly what happened here. So sometimes if the audience is sleepy and uninterested and distracted, then the speaker may not actually fully manifest his knowledge and eloquence, and he may not say the right thing. But if the audience is very receptive and they have great desire to hear, then the speaker becomes inspired and he can say things that he otherwise wouldn't say, you know, like that. I've seen this many times, many, many times. And these are all the things I wanted to mention. This is what Prabhupada was focusing on, this purport. If anyone wants to comment on these topics, or someone has a question, let me try to answer, yeah. Hare Krishna. Are we using a microphone today? Not working. Maybe batteries. Okay. I'll try to repeat your question. Yes. So you're asking if Vidura accepted the position of a Shudra, and he was acting as an advisor, isn't that the position of a Brahmana? Yes, it is. So Vidura was, although born of a Shudra mother, he was the son of Vyasadev. And so he was not just the Shudra, and he was raised in a royal family of the Kauravas. These are the emperors of the world, so he received vast knowledge. He was more than a Brahmana, actually, in that sense that he was a pure devotee of the Lord. So a pure devotee of the Lord is much more than a Brahmana. A Brahmana may know the Shastras, he may know all the rituals and all the intricacies of philosophy, but he may not be a lover, he may not love Krishna, he may not have that affection. And so Vidura, besides being a pure devotee, he was very learned, very knowledgeable. Because the kings, they received knowledge from great personalities. Like that. I don't know if that addresses your question. Yes. Anyone else has anything to say? Yes, Mataji?
One who is humble, it doesn't mean that he accepts the advice of everyone. So I was wondering how that works, because if we're humble, and like Lord Chaitanya says in that Trinada Pisa Nichana, we think ourselves lower than the straw on the street, and how is it we can also think that we know better than others?
Sorry, I couldn't understand, because this can't hear very well. Can you speak louder? Because this microphone doesn't work.
If we think that we're lower than a straw in the street, how can we think that we know better than others to not accept the advice of other people?
How can we think that we know better than others? Yeah? Okay. So if we're humble than a straw in the street, then we know better than others. We don't accept the advice of others. That's what he's saying, yeah? See, being humbler than a straw in the street doesn't mean that you're a fool. It means that you're not proud. You may have knowledge, but you're not proud with your knowledge. And you don't pose as better than everyone else, but still you know the conclusions of the Shastra, and you know Lord Chaitanya, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he acted as a very humble person, especially in the meeting with the sannyasis. When he went to and what was that? Varanasi, Benares. He went to Varanasi and he was very humble. But when he spoke, you know, he showed them that their conclusions were wrong. It doesn't mean that if you're humble, you act as a fool, and if someone speaks nonsense, you tolerate that. I'm not sure if I addressed your question. Is that satisfying, or you want to discuss it further? Maybe I didn't understand your question properly. Yeah, how would you answer your own question? What do you think? Come on, you know. You know, when a devotee meets with someone who is not a devotee, although he is respectful and humble, he doesn't accept their nonsense, you know, and he doesn't act foolishly. So there's no contradiction between being humbler than a straw on the street and not accepting others' people's opinion. It means that you have dignity, you have knowledge, and you know that what you've got is much more precious, much more valuable than what anyone else has. So I think this is what dignity also means. You wanted to ask Jayanti something?
Yes. I have a question, and I also want to comment on that.
Okay.
When we say the devotee is humble, actually that humbleness relates to the Lord. And we are humble in the position related to the Lord. And doesn't mean that we are not arrogant with other people, but again, we, as you said, we have knowledge, we have understanding. So, the humble is related to
very
the
good
Lord.
Point. Yes, yeah, and toward devotees, and toward devotees also. Yeah. And your question?
My question is regarding the qualities of Vidura, the gentleness and meekness. And as you mentioned, other scriptures also, other religion also value these qualities. It seems obviously that the Lord values them, so they appear in different religions. My question is, was Vidura so dear to the Lord just because of these two qualities, or there was more to that? Is it meek and gentle enough to win the Lord on your side, so he can come and sit and put his feet on the lap?
Yeah. No, he had many other qualities. But these qualities are mentioned in the verse, that's why we focused on them. Because devotees have many other qualities. But actually, one who is meek and humble, he attracts the mercy of the Lord. The Lord becomes very eager to give his mercy and shelter to that person. When we are proud, I can speak about myself. I have been very proud throughout my whole life. But now with becoming older and probably a little bit more wise and a lot of suffering, after undergoing a lot of suffering, I'm starting to realize that I'm actually not very great as I thought when I was younger. So perhaps this is a natural progression, and when you get older also, you know, time starts to take away things from you. When you're young, you're strong, you're beautiful, your mind is very sharp, and you get so many help from so many people, your family and like that, your relatives. But when you get older, all these things go away from your life. Parents die, relatives are old, they look after their own children. Your brain becomes little cloudy, and your body is not very strong. Of course, I'm not very old, but you know, old age is a relative thing. Prabhupada said that who is old? One who is just about to die, isn't it? So we all old because we are all about to die. We don't know when we're going to die. So like that. And we focused on these qualities, but Vidura has many qualities. He was very intelligent. He knew very much the Shastra. He was very good in diplomacy as well. He was very sensitive to the Pandavas, very, very kind, and a lot of qualities. We just focus because they were discussed in the verse. Yes, you want to say something?
Thank you for your answer and for the nice class. I want to just mention that there was one more quality mentioned in that verse and purport, which I think was also very endearing to the Lord, and that was that he had a strong desire to hear about the Lord.
Yes. It was mentioned somewhere in the verse?
Yeah, towards the end of the purport, the sage Maitreya was very pleased with Vidura's words, being influenced. No, that's the verse. In the purport, towards the end, Prabhupada says, because
Maitreya was inspired by the wonderful fortune of Vidura. Let me put my glasses. Without glasses, I don't see anything. He said, Maitreya was inspired by the thought of Vidura's wonderful fortune. And then the end. His hair stood on end, and he was pleased to narrate the topics of the personality of Godhead with great delight.
Wasn't it mentioned somewhere that he want? Or you mentioned it, maybe, that he... Oh yeah, you mentioned it. You said the article where Vidura asked because for the sake of others and because he wanted
to hear.
One more quality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should finish here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Radha Gokulananda ki jaya.